Well, hello and welcome. It's good to be with you today, and I hope that you're having a great day. It's a beautiful day here as I'm filming this. It's dry. We certainly need rain, and we pray that the Lord will send it to us. But it's a beautiful day, and the best part about it is the fact that we get to come together and to meet with our Lord. And I hope that already today that you've heard from our Lord, that you're walking with Him, that you're experiencing closeness and fellowship with Him, and that you're looking forward to our time together with Him. And since we've come together to hear from our Lord, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you for the beautiful day that you have given to us, O Lord. Father, how it testifies of your power, your greatness, your sovereignty. But Father, thank you most of all that within this day you want us to know you. Lord, you've given us this time, this place, these means. Father, you've given us your word. And Father, I just pray, O God, that you'll open our minds and our hearts. Lord, that you'll prepare us to hear from you. Lord, I just ask, O God, that you draw us near to you. Father, help us to know you, your will, and your ways. We pray, O God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, I do hope that you're having a great day, and it certainly is a blessing when we get to meet with our Lord, but you may especially need our Lord today. Maybe you're going through some problem or difficulty, or maybe you're facing some need, and you are needing the Lord in a very personal and very powerful way this day. Much like David, as we open God's Word to Psalm 86, and you think about what David was inspired to write here in verses 1 through 4. Think about what he writes. He says, "Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am afflicted and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am a godly man. O you, my God, save your servant who trusts in you. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you I cry all day long. Make glad the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." Now, we don't know the situation, the circumstances that David was in when he wrote this. And yet we do know there was obviously there a tremendous need. And maybe you, as we come together and as you're before the Lord, as you open His Word, maybe that describes you. Maybe you're going through some problem or difficulty or time of confusion, and you desperately need the Lord to work and move. Well, how can we pray in such times? What enables us to truly pray with confidence in times such as what David was going through here, such as you may be going through? Well, as we look at the balance of this psalm, we find out that what enables us to pray in times of great need is, in fact, God Himself. Who He is, what He has done, what He is like. God Himself is the reason why we can come to Him, cry out to Him, seek Him in times of need. And you think about how we see this as we look through the balance of this psalm. What enabled David to pray in those times of need? What do we learn from David about praying in times of need? What is it about God that enables us to pray when we're facing great need? Well, first of all, is who God is. That is simply who He is in His person. You think about what we see in verses 5 through 10. "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant loving kindness to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Give heed to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I shall call upon you, for you will answer me. There is no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor is there any works like yours. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous deeds. You alone are God." Think about what David says here about God. Look back at verse 5. He talks about how God is in fact good, how He is ready to forgive, how He is in fact abundant in loving kindness. How can we not come with confidence before such God, before such a God? Look what we see in verse 7. "You will answer me." There's the absolute assurance. That's the very nature of God. Comes from the very core of His being to answer the call of His children. You think about what we see in verse 8. "There's no one like you, nor are there any works like yours." There is no one like our God. There's no one who can do works like our God. You think about what we see in verse 9. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship you. The day is coming when all nations will recognize him and will glorify him. You think about what we see in verse 10. You are great. You do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. You think about God just as he is described in just those few short verses. What problem is it? What problem is there that such a God cannot handle? What need could we possibly face that such a God cannot meet? And this is why knowing him needs to be the focus of our lives. And we start out with good intentions, and yet very quickly events and activities and various emphases take our attention away from knowing the Lord himself. And yet knowing the Lord needs to be the very core and foundation of our life and the very strength of our life. And simply who he is the encouragement that we need to pray unto him and to be the ability to pray unto him with confidence. Who God is enables us to pray with confidence, even in times of great need, such as David was clearly going through. And so we see who God is makes him worthy, makes it easy for us to come and to seek him in prayer, because he is wonderful, glorious, majestic, all-powerful, all-knowing, perfect in every way. Who he is enables us to pray. But then notice what else. What God has done. Look at verses 11 through 13. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For your loving kindness toward me is great. And look at the last part of verse 13 very carefully. And you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. David can look back over his life and he says, God, in every single circumstance, in every single time of need, in every single time of problem, you have in fact come through. You have supplied, you have carried, you have guided, you have protected. God, you have always come through. Now, granted, he didn't always do it the way that David expected or David would have wanted. You think about all those years where David was on the run from Saul. No doubt David prayed and cried. Well, we know David prayed and cried out many times because many of the Psalms have that period as their background. And it was clear and obvious David wanted deliverance. I mean, put yourself in David's sandals, being hunted like an animal. Wouldn't you want God to immediately solve that problem? Wouldn't you want God to immediately deliver you from that? Wouldn't you want God to instantaneously put all that behind you? But God didn't. But God did watch over David. God did protect David. God did supply David. God did, in fact, provide for everything that David needed in that time. And God used that time to fulfill his plan and his purpose. In many ways, that was the time period that God used to really mold and shape and purge and refine David, to make him the instrument that he could use. No, God didn't come through the way David wanted him to come through. But David could look back and see that God had not failed him. Child of God, I have no doubt. You can look back over your life, and there are probably numerous times where God moved differently than what you wanted him to move through. But you look back at that time, he never failed you. He didn't leave you. He didn't forsake you. Like David, he guided, he provided, he protected, he carried you unto his will. And when you look back at those times, those are the times where he taught you his faithfulness and his goodness. Many times those are the periods of our life that most molded and shaped us. And so we look back at what God has done. He has in fact never failed. He never failed David. He's never failed us. Yes, he worked differently. But when we look back, God has a perfect track record. We can trust what he has in fact done. And so when we look back, it enables us to pray about our current circumstances because we see how God has always been faithful in the past. But then we also consider, as we find out from David's experience, as we consider third, where God is. And by that, I don't mean necessarily his omnipresence where God always is. I don't necessarily mean our Lord's position within the Trinity where the Father's on the throne. Our Lord is at his right hand. The Holy Spirit's in fact indwelling within us, though that does apply, as we'll talk about in a moment. But I'm talking about his proximity to us, how close he is to us. Think about what we read in verses 14 through 17. O God, arrogant men have risen up against me, and a band of violent men have sought my life, and they have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. Turn to me and be gracious to me. O grant your strength to your servant and save the son of your handmaid. Show me a sign for good that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, O Lord, have helped and comforted me. Look what David said in that 17th verse. God, you have helped me. God, you have comforted me. Do you know what that requires? That requires closeness. Child of God, we need to understand God's not merely up there. God is not merely out there, but he is with us. And again, by his Holy Spirit, he is in us by the indwelling Holy Spirit. He is closer to you than your closest relationships. He's closer to you than your closest friend, than your closest family member. God is in fact with us. He is with you right now, right where you are, even in that difficult situation that you may find yourself in this morning or afternoon or evening, whenever you're watching this. Whatever it is that you're going through, he is in fact with you. You think about what our Lord promised by this, when he was speaking of the coming Holy Spirit. Look at John 14, verses 16 through 18. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. And the word another means another of the same kind. Just as I have been with you, is what he was telling the disciples and us, so this coming comforter will in fact be with you. Everything that I have been with you physically, as he spoke to the disciples, he will be with you from within. And what a comfort that is for us. We look back at the disciples, we think how lucky they were because the Lord Jesus was right there with them. And no doubt that was an awesome, incredible blessing. I'm not taking away from it. But we have the opportunity to have that same closeness because he's now within us. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I, he, himself, through his Spirit, will come to us and will be with us forever, and is with us in every situation, and is with us in every moment, including this one. Why can we pray with confidence? Because his proximity, he is with us. You think about what else our Lord said in John 16, verses 5 through 7. Again, he returned to the topic of the Holy Spirit. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask, where are you going? But because I've said these things, sorrow has filled your heart. But listen to verse 7. But I tell you to the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Do you hear what our Lord said? It is to your advantage that I go away. You will be better off with the Holy Spirit within you than you are with me with you. That ought to tell us about the wonderful position that we have in Christ. That because he comes to live within us through the Holy Spirit, we're even better off than the disciples were when they were with him in his earthly ministry. We have him with us, his proximity. And the fact that he is near us ought to enable us to pray with confidence, with absolute assurance, because he is with us. Yes, you may be like David today, maybe going through some time of difficulty, some major problem. But look at our wonderful Lord, who he is, what he has done, where he is, how he is with you. And remembering that should enable you to pour out your heart into him as David did. What a wonderful God we have. What a wonderful God who is with you. What a wonderful God who will hear your prayer and your cry when you call out to him. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. And, O God, for who you are, Lord, we praise you. Thank you for all that you have done. Thank you, O God, that you're with us. O Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, be with us through this day. May we seek you and may we experience you, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that whatever it is you're going through today, that you will experience the nearness, the closeness, the power, the working of God, that you'll see Him work and move and answer and carry you through problems and difficulties. And I hope by His wonderful grace that you have a great day in Him.